good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for jumping on board on Sports360AZ.com. Today we'll have Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst. Pedro joins us every week. Things going on in my mind with the Diamondbacks general manager search. Pedro is in San Francisco tonight for Giants D-backs. I'm going to talk some playoff stuff, too, with it just being a few weeks away. And how did his play-by-play debut go last week? So a lot to get caught up with Pedro Gomez. Michael Fabiano, it is Wednesday. Guys, I know you're setting your rosters. The NFL starting tomorrow night in week number two. Today is waiver day. A lot of questions with running backs, quarterbacks. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, right there on the set at the NFL Network. The Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, will be with us. There's quite a bit going on locally, and much of it has to do around the Cardinals. So let's get right into what's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. It's in the beautiful White Mountains. If you've not been to the Honda Resort and Casino, you are missing out. Great time, great food, great fun. Pull down on that slot machine, have some great winnings. Enjoy some time with your fans, your friends, your family, whatever it may be. And, of course, at night, you know, they've got the hotel there. Kids can watch the TV in the room, and then you guys go out and enjoy yourself in the slots. Why not? Have some fun at the Honda Resort and Casino. Maybe you have that summer cabin now coming into fall. Head on up this weekend. Perfect place to go and enjoy yourself. The Honda Resort and Casino. It's just outside of Pine Top, and it is in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. Larry Fitzgerald's dad, here's the beauty of this job. You never know what you're going to stumble into or what's going to take place. We talked about how Fitz was targeted very few times. One reception, did not have a pass thrown his way during the first three quarters against the San Diego Chargers. We talked about that. I was going on social media Monday night during the game, and fans are like, what is this deal here? And some of you guys are the fantasy ones. Well, why do I even have him? And Larry Fitzgerald's dad sits near me. Last year, we sat right next to each other at every home game. This year, we're like three seats apart. I don't know if it's something I said or what, but it's fine. So the game finishes up late Monday night. And Larry Fitzgerald Sr. puts, the world saw on Monday Night Football the politics and business of football. If it's been decided that you are not getting the ball, just win. The world saw Monday Night Football, the politics and business of football. If it's been decided that you are not getting the ball, just win. So this tweet starts getting a lot of attention yesterday afternoon. I'm over at the Cardinals yesterday, and Bruce Arians, and you've got to really listen closely because I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes on this one quote. Let's not forget that Larry Fitzgerald has this enormous, enormous cap number that's coming up next March. And anybody who's not going to go down that path, you're not being true to this story. Here's Bruce Arians. And at the end of this, like the last 5 seconds of this, it's like, okay, I gotcha. Here's Bruce Arians on Fitz's lack of production in week one.
You'd have to ask the quarterback. He's going out for a pass every time. So I don't look at that. And we don't design plays for guys to get the ball. That's interceptions waiting to happen. You have guys go out and then whatever the coverage dictates, you get it. The coverage dictated he wasn't getting many. And he was open a couple other times and we threw it somewhere else. But I'm not interested in anybody's numbers other than the W's. Those days are long gone.
I'm not interested in anyone's numbers except the W. Those days are long gone, meaning that those days were here. I guess I'm not interested in anybody's numbers, just the W. Those days are long gone. What do you mean by that? When I went back and I heard it, I should have been the one that says, well, what do you mean by that? Those days are long gone. Does that mean that those days were here, Bruce? I'm not going to quibble about the design of plays, the fact they threw to 11 different receivers. Larry Fitzgerald's had some ups and downs. A lot of that has been predicated on the fact they've had awful quarterback play and they've had brutal offensive lines and quarterbacks just haven't had time to throw the ball or they've thrown ball in areas where he's going to get decapitated. But the fact that the father jumps in on this and in some circles is coming across like a soccer dad, Larry Fitzgerald had to go on social media and say, my father's inflammatory comments don't reflect my feelings or mood. We're 1-0 and working tirelessly to be 2-0 this week. That's my only concern. The dad is at most every one of his son's games. The dad is a journalist in Minnesota, but he finds a way to be at his son's games. Larry is much different than his father about voicing his opinion. We very seldom, if ever, in Larry Fitzgerald, if there's ever been a player that has done a really good job of deflecting away and building the brand so that when he's done playing NFL football, he's got life after completely, totally in place, and that corporations have embraced him. There's nothing wrong with that because he can flat out play. But those days are gone, according to the coach. What do you mean by that? The fact that they're 1-0, the fact that Fitz didn't have the ball thrown to him, they found a way to win. It's 1 week into the season. I have to look at it from that perspective. If this was 3 weeks into the season and they were never throwing in the football, but as I put on social media, and some of you disagreed with this on Monday night, you don't have all this money tied up in somebody just to be a decoy. And when this big number comes up next March, so when the father says the world saw on Monday Night Football the politics and business of football, I am guessing, but from my point of view, that is suggesting that, yeah, we all know there's this huge contract that's coming right around the corner. And you know what? We can go win without you down the road. And eventually that's what happens to every player in the NFL. If it's been decided that you are not getting the ball, just win. So now we have this to look at coming into this week's game at New York against the Giants. I like the fact that they're able to spread the ball around as much as they are able to, but I have a hard time believing that you can't even throw in the direction of Larry Fitzgerald. And when Bruce Arians said, let me hear that one more time. Here's this again, Bruce Arians yesterday, and right off the top, the coach is asked about it, and he turns it right over to Carson Palmer.
You'd have to ask the quarterback.
You have to ask the quarterback.
He's going out for a pass every time, so I don't look at that. And we don't design plays for guys to get the ball.
Don't design
plays
for guys to get the ball.
That's interceptions waiting
to happen. All right.
You have guys go out, and then whatever the coverage dictates, you get it. The coverage dictated he wasn't getting many. And he was open a couple other times when we threw it somewhere else. But I'm not interested in anybody's numbers other than the W's. Those days are long gone.
I'm not interested in anybody's numbers except the W. Those days are long gone. So what was here before is not what's happening now with me here, with me in charge. And Bruce Arians is going to do what he has to do to win games, but he's also going to do from a business standpoint, and he sees what's going on. It's not always kumbaya. In fact, very seldom is it kumbaya publicly. And behind the scenes, it's something completely different. I'm not saying that's completely the case here with Larry Fitzgerald, but for the dad to come out off just one game and to put that out there, and I have a very hard time believing it's the first time he's ever thought these thoughts, having sat next to him through the years at Cardinal games. I was really interested just how this is all being played out. Now, all I'm going to say on this one to close it out and move on to some other things is if this trend continues, and Larry held his tongue pretty well after games when it was the Derek Anderson, Max Hall, John Skelton, disaster after disaster after disaster, balls being thrown high and wide, right, left. You know, Fitz's role has changed here. And the end of careers for guys, very seldom does it all end well. Very seldom. I mean, even Kurt Warner, there was disappointment over there that he left a year earlier than they thought. That's why we had to see all these quarterbacks go rolling on through. It's a pretty interesting way to start out the season, that you get the victory, and then the dad comes out, and the son has to say, I'm only concerned about W's. And so you have this dynamic of father-son that's taking place in a very public forum when the focus should be on, you've got the New York Giants that are rolling in, and the New York Giants aren't very good at all. If there's a better time to play the New York Giants than this coming Sunday morning, give it to me, because they're not good, and they're struggling in a lot of areas. They've got their wide receiving issues. Victor Cruz is not happy. He was targeted only 6 times. He only caught 2 passes. He came out and said, in order for us to be successful, I think there needs to be an increased number of targets in my direction, quote, end quote. Like, give me the damn ball. In order for us to be successful, I think there needs to be an increased number of targets in my direction. I'll tell you what, the New York Giants have every look, and if you look at the smell test on them, that if the Cardinals are to get up early on the Giants, because this has been an ongoing theme, Eli Manning's gotten crushed the last year. They can get up early on the Giants. They can put their foot down on their throats and push down. You let the Giants kind of sort of hang around because they're just not very good. Now they got guys that are saying, it's about me, it's not about team. That's essentially what Victor Cruz is saying. I think there needs to be an increased number of targets in my direction. You don't say that. You may think it. So this Sunday's game, really interesting to me, because you have that whole deal about it's a Sunday morning, 10 a.m. start. It's hard to get body clocks going. We've heard that excuse through the years. I don't know. Seattle seems to get up for games. I don't know. San Francisco seems to get up for games. If you're going West Coast to East Coast, let's not sit here and use that as an excuse. If Larry Fitzgerald doesn't catch a ball or two, have it thrown his way, game 2, game 3, it's a really interesting dynamic. Because Monday night, I mean, it was borderline crazy by the middle of the third quarter. Like, are you ever even going to throw it his way? Would the NFL, would a team like the Arizona Cardinals and a general manager like Steve Keim and a head coach like Bruce Arians and with an ownership group, would they put their foot down behind closed doors and say, we're not even going to throw them the ball? Would that even come up? Does that sound so crazy and so ludicrous? You know, in professional sports, it doesn't. I'm not saying this group did, but there's lots of crazy things that go on behind the scenes in pro sports. It's usually this is the type of thing that happens late in a season, because a guy is starting to approach, hey, if he gets 1,500 yards or he gets 80 catches or he gets this or he gets that, there's a bonus that's sitting there. There's a carrot sitting there. Well, you know, hey, carries went down a little bit. Oh, you just missed that bonus by 2 yards. Oh, we're sorry you didn't catch 90 balls. You caught 86. Yeah, you had 70 with 6 games to go. Just didn't go your way. You don't think that doesn't happen? You're kidding yourselves. It happens in all sports. It happens in baseball with bonuses. It happens in basketball with bonuses. It's part of the deal. So that's on my mind. And I think that story is just going to continue to be out there and be part of what we're going to see on game day. On the other side, Pedro Gomez will be with us. Later on in the hour, I'm going to talk about ASU Colorado because I haven't really gotten into them. There's been so much around Ray Rice. There is more on Ray Rice today. We've got the U of A in action this weekend. And I've got to work the Mercury in here as well because we are an Arizona-based show. Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @Brad Sussmat, Pedro Gomez on the other side.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez in a command performance after his play-by-play debut last week, which was, well, how would you describe it?
You know, it was probably raw. I thought we had good conversations. I probably could have paid a little more attention to the game. But I thought on the national level, you know, Padres Diamondbacks isn't really that riveting on a national level. But I probably should have played a little more, paid a little more attention to the game.
You going to have another game?
Who knows? Who knows? May have just been a one-time thing.
Oh, come on.
Well, Johnny had knee surgery and wasn't available. And so, I got the call out of the bullpen.
Well, look, you're not a one-time guy out of the bullpen. It's not like you went up there and threw a bunch of lollipops. Pedro's in San Francisco.
I would love to do it. Yeah. I would love to do it, but it's not my call.
All right. It's your agent's call.
I don't have one.
Oh, you don't have one? Oh.
No.
Wow. Well, you're your agent then.
That's, yeah, my wife.
Yeah, you're right, right. Hey, honey, I want to do it. Pedro, by the way, is in San Francisco for Diamondbacks and Giants. Is there just nothing better than Diamondbacks Giants tonight?
Well, we have to have a doubleheaders on Wednesdays in September because, you know, we do games on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Sundays. But
yeah.
Once September rolls around, there's something called Monday Night Football. So baseball goes away on Mondays, and we end up doing doubleheaders on Wednesday. So we have to get a West Coast game for our second game of the doubleheader.
I gotcha.
And, yeah, so this is the choice.
And the Giants are sitting there in a spot where it's basically, you got to win. Don't screw up.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the division is still there. I mean, they've got six games left against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But you can't screw it up by losing games that you should be winning. So you're right. It's basically don't screw it up.
Okay, so we spoke last week, and right after we get done, the next day the Diamondbacks pull the plug on Kevin Towers. A, you and I were not surprised by this, correct?
Correct. I still think there is a way for him to be back, however. Not obviously as the GM, but it would not be surprising if Kevin Towers is back if, say, somebody like Dave Stewart does get the job.
Okay, in what capacity, though? What would he be? You'd go to Reno?
Would be a mentor for somebody like Dave Stewart, who has been an assistant general manager in Toronto years back, who was also, let's not forget, he was Kevin Towers' pitching coach with the 98 Padres. And the 98 Padres went to the World Series. Now, he's been an agent for the last 10, 12 years, but he is a very, very... he's got a great reputation inside baseball. And so it would not be surprising. I mean, Tony La Russa has a long history with Dave Stewart. Kevin Towers has a long history with Dave Stewart. So if Dave Stewart were to get the job, would not be surprising if Kevin Towers decides to stay and be kind of his mentor. Because there's ins and outs of being the GM that Stu does not know. Like, you know, the rules, the waivers, all of those things, which you can get caught and lose players, and it can be very embarrassing. Towers would never allow Stu to get put in that position.
But would that be anything more than just finishing off Towers' contract? Wouldn't there be teams that would want him to be a GM and he just would like to get away from this? I mean, have you talked to him about
that? That is possible. That is possible. I don't know how many GM openings, though, there are going to be in the offseason.
Okay.
And, you know, the reality is that a lot of clubs go for the sabermetric type GM. You know, that they've been quite successful in recent years. So I don't know that somebody who's more of a scouting background type GM would necessarily be high on a list of a lot of teams. But let's forget, I mean, you know, La Russa now is in charge of all baseball.
Sure.
La Russa doesn't know those ins and outs, the technicalities of being a general manager. If it is somebody like Dave Stewart, he also would not be that up on all of those technicalities. You'd have to have somebody that would ensure that you wouldn't stub your toe. And I don't think Towers would stay for just anybody, but I think someone like Dave Stewart, yes, I do think he would for that, because they are very close friends, and he would, like I said, he would ensure that Stu would not get embarrassed.
Why would Dave Stewart take this job? Is it just because it's a general manager's? Pedro, because it's a general manager's job in Major League Baseball, and there's only a limited number of them? But or is it he's done the agent thing, and it's just he misses being associated with a team? Why would Dave Stewart take this job?
Dave Stewart wanted to be a general manager in Toronto, and when the opening came up, when Gord Ash was let go in Toronto, Dave Stewart was one of the two finalists, and they gave the job to J.P. Ricciardi. Mm-hmm. And Stu was extremely disappointed not to get the opportunity and left baseball at that point to become a GM. And I think that that itch is still there. I think he would like to see – he's somebody that has always been up for a challenge. I've known Dave Stewart for 25 years when I was covering the A's as a beat reporter back in the early 90s. I got to know Stu, and we remain, you know, friends. And he is absolutely somebody that likes challenges, and you can tell by the way he has handled himself. I mean, he's gone from assistant GM to a player agent, and I think he'd like to see if he, you know, that GM check mark has never been checked. That little box has never been checked, and I think he'd like to see if he can do it.
Is he the clubhouse?
And certainly, working with someone like Tony La Russa
makes
it easier because of their history.
Yeah, is he the clubhouse leader right now for this job?
I would say him and Gary Larocque, who is an assistant GM at St. Louis, mm-hmm. who La Russa also knows very well. I think we shouldn't be naive in thinking that people want to work with someone. When they have this type of hire, they want someone that they're comfortable with.
Sure.
Not just somebody who interviews well and it's like, oh, this guy interviewed really great. I don't know him, but he interviewed great. It's not that it's an old boys school, but it is something where if you're in charge, you want to be comfortable with whoever you hire. And I would say that the two leaders would be Gary Larocque, who La Russa's known for years because of the St. Louis connection, and certainly Dave Stewart, who he's known for 3 decades because he's the one who pulled him off the scrap heap when nobody wanted him and turned him into a 4-time 20-game winner in Oakland.
So if Larocque were hired, Towers wouldn't stick around in that role, or would he?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. They don't have the history together, and certainly Larocque is somebody that is familiar with a lot of the technicalities of being a GM because he's been John Mozeliak's assistant in St. Louis for years. So I could not envision Towers sticking around if Larocque got the job.
Yeah. Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, part of Sports360AZ.com today, coming on board from the Bay Area, where tonight he will be a part of the broadcast for the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Giants and Diamondbacks, which will be on big old ESPN. That's tonight. So with a few weeks to go in the season, I have to tell you that I don't have a gauge one way or the other on the weather vane downtown about Gibby coming back or not. Some weeks it looks like he's a dead man walking. Other weeks it's no, he's on the right side of the grass and he's going to be back here. What's your gauge as we're sitting here on the 10th of September about Gibby?
I would say in talking to people within the game that they'd be surprised if Gibby comes back.
Mm-hmm.
There would be some surprise if he is. And the biggest reason that they cite is the club is not moving forward. So let's say you do bring Gibby back, and let's say by mid-season things are not going well. All of a sudden you've got to make a move maybe mid-season.
Right.
And at that point, 2015 is now thrown away. And I think that this organization does not want to get into a situation where they're throwing another season away and just asking fans to continue to be patient with them. And if there is a new manager and things are not going well, you've started the process of moving in a different direction. So that's the consensus among people I've spoken to within the game.
Is the consensus, from what I'm hearing, is if Gibby weren't brought back, that Dave McKay would be at the top of the list?
That's not a name I've heard.
Okay.
I think Dave McKay would be retained, but I've not heard that name mentioned. A couple of names I've heard.
Yeah, what are the names?
Well, I've heard Mike Aldretti, who I mentioned to you a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Who's a bench coach in St. Louis right now, and I've heard Joe McEwing, who is a third base coach for the Chicago White Sox right now, who also has a history with Tony La Russa. Again, these guys don't tend to hire somebody that they're not comfortable with. Now, certainly the new GM would have a say, but if it is Dave Stewart, well, he's known Mike Aldretti for a lot of years. They were teammates at one point in Oakland, and Gary Larocque certainly is familiar with Mike Aldretti. They're in the same organization right now. Joe McEwing is a former Cardinal, so
killed the Diamondbacks.
He would be
Joe
familiar
McEwing.
With Tony La Russa.
Joe McEwing killed the Diamondbacks. I mean, he was just one of these guys.
That was a movie.
Yeah. I mean, he just took care of business whenever he played against them. It's really interesting just because I think the flag on Gibby, some weeks it's been pointing in one direction, and then it's kind of been an ebb and flow down there. But recently, the vibe I've gotten, even talking with some people on the business end of things, is what you said earlier. They can't possibly bring Gibby back now at this point because you can't sell that to fans, and he is going to have it hanging over his head. If they start out 3-8 next year, their people are not going to want to have him here. So,
well, and he's got 1 year left on his deal, and I doubt that they would extend him at this point over the winter. So you'd have somebody that would be in a lame duck situation. I mean, there's just a lot of negatives that would be working against that scenario.
Yeah. No, I got you. Stay well, safe travels. Appreciate the time as always.
Okay. All right. Take care.
You got it. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, part of sports360az.com, on the road, talking baseball every week. Awesome machine stuff there. The segment of the show brought to you by Columbus Foods and Columbus Meats. Guys, it is Wednesday. Here's the deal. Tomorrow night, there is Thursday night NFL football on television. You don't have to wait until Sunday. And then you're going to have all the college games on Saturday. You have a late college game with ASU on ESPNU up in Colorado. The U of A game doesn't start till 8 o'clock on Saturday night. On Sunday, you got the Cardinal game at 10 o'clock in the morning. So my point in this is, you're going to be spending a lot of time in front of the television over the next 4 or 5 days. There's just going to be a lot going on. And Columbus Meats, Columbus Foods, when Sam comes by, you've seen Sam in here. She brings in her platter, and it's great stuff. Damn good meats, we like to say. You can get your Columbus Meats, the trays, the cheeses, whatever it may be from Columbus. Stop on in at any AJ's and make sure that you have it all there for you. That deli tray, the cheeses, the cheese ball, the salamis. Have it. It's slow cured. It's great tasting. And man, oh man, when I put it out here, the guys come running. They flock to it. Go with the best. Go with Columbus. Columbus Meats, Columbus Foods, part of Sports360AZ.com. Time out here on the other side. A few other things sports related. Also, it's a President's State of the Union tonight, so I do have some thoughts on that I want to work in on the show. More on the Ray Rice fallout and why Goodell went to CBS to explain himself. And then on the field with ASU, too, in about 10 minutes, we'll do fantasy football with Michael Fabiano. He joins us from the NFL Network. I'm Brad Sismat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com. Good to have you back on board. Brad Sussmat with you. Right now on Sports360AZ.com, we have plenty of content up. The recruiting roundup with Jared Cohen and Jason Jewell from Scout.com. You can check out recruiting news on the college front around Arizona, high school, the top players, where they're looking at going, what colleges are coming into our great state. We do that every week. It is brought to you by Rock and Refuel. The Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup, you can check that out. Thanks to Shamrock Farms. And plenty of good content there. That is every week. We also have plenty of NFL content up. I wrote a blog last night on some thoughts on the Cardinals end of things with the Giants coming up. Even some wise guy stuff, my top five teams in the NFL. So there's plenty of content on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate them on board. We partner with White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And you can always hit me up on Twitter. Agree, disagree, I don't care. I'm just glad that you found us on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. We've been at it almost 3 years, and we've had a great time growing the brand and continue to grow by leaps and bounds. A couple things about the ASU game, and then I'm going to get over to Ray Rice. Fabiano's with us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk all things fantasy football. Our fantasy football numbers are just stupid crazy. I mean, people just jump on board for fantasy football. That's what the NFL's turned into. It's not so much about the game. It's how's my team going to do and who am I going to play and all that stuff. We have not talked about ASU this week, and we try to do more college content here than anywhere else because, you know, we're local, and I feel like colleges don't get enough attention. I didn't plan on Larry Fitzgerald's dad weighing in on something. No. So ASU plays Colorado 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Jared Cohen's going to head up to Boulder on that one. Game is on ESPNU, so while plenty of content on sports360az.com, we thank Santan Ford for jumping on board with that. It is not supposed to rain. The Devils are favored by 15.5. The total is 68. I will take the over, thank you very much. That 68, are you kidding me? The Buffaloes are awful. They run like Buffalo's. I have no idea why Colorado can't get it figured out in football. But the Colorado's given up 69 points in two games. They got pushed by big, bad, mighty Massachusetts last week. Come on. Colorado's not beaten a ranked opponent since 2009. ASU in this series has never lost a game, and they've won by an average of 29 points. And Todd Graham's been kind of cranky this week. He's been kind of grumpy even towards the end of last week. And I didn't think they played all that great at New Mexico. Yeah, it was 4 hours of my life I'll never get back on a Saturday. I sat there and watched that. DJ Foster's averaging almost 11 yards a carry. Of course he is. He's played Weber State and New Mexico. And this week he's played Colorado. He may average 20 yards per carry this week. Through two games, ASU's put up 1,191 yards. They've put up 57 first downs because they've beaten two teams that aren't any good. They're going to play another team this week that's not very good. They are going to be 3-0. If they go to Boulder and they lose, in the Todd Graham era, it would be the worst loss, even more so than what happened last year in the bowl game in San Diego, because that was just a bowl game. This is your Pac-12 opener. This is a layup with nobody around you for 50 feet. Don't go up there and step on yourself. I'm a little cranky on this one, too, because, A, I don't like this type of game. I'd rather be USC or Stanford, like last week when those two teams met. Let's bring it on. You know, 3 weeks of just easy, 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 and then a bye week, and then you get UCLA, and yeah, their schedule's really hard after that. Then you go through UCLA and USC and Stanford. Yeah, that's not going to be easy at all. They're probably going to lose a game, maybe two. Could lose all three, although I think it's hard to gauge. ASU's really hard to gauge because when I watch UCLA, I don't think UCLA is all that physical. I really don't. And Brett Hundley's been thrown around like a rag doll. Big a fan as I am of his, he's just been thrown around. I watched their game the other night against Memphis, and they had to hang on for dear life. Not that impressed with UCLA. More than impressed with USC. And Stanford, I think Stanford's just had so many guys that they've lost. They're trying to figure it out, too. And that's a team that should have beat USC last week. Even you USC honks, and you know who you are. If you watch that game objectively, which most USC people don't, we're USC. Okay, I got it. I got it. If you go out and you go take care of business as Stanford did last week, they should have beat USC. Stanford should have beat them. Now, Arizona plays Nevada. On the surface, you look at this and say, I have better things to do with my life on a Saturday night than be one of the five people on the Pac-12 network watching Arizona-Nevada at 8 o'clock on a Saturday. But that's what I'm going to be doing. Okay, this is my job. It's what I have to do. And Nevada, they beat Washington State last Friday night. Yeah, it was at Nevada. I get it. But U of A, you would think, should find a way to win there too. My point in this is both ASU and U of A should win this weekend. They should. And as they move forward from here, U of A has got to play Cal the following week. Cal won at Northwestern. Cal may be starting to get better, but U of A should be off to a very good start. ASU, take care of business, get out of the game healthy. Yeah, I said I'd take the over at 68, but if you decide to take the foot off the pedal, Todd, Mike Norvell, it's fine. It's fine. Just get into the game against UCLA healthy. Because I think that there's been a little bit of a malaise. Weber State's not going to say much of anything. I don't think New Mexico has shown anybody what the team's all about. And this week at Colorado, the numbers speak for themselves. Take care of business there. The segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. When I talk about Santan Ford, I talk about the 2014 Ford Fusion that I drive. I talk about the Explorer I recently bought for my wife, traded in the Expedition. Had that Expedition for, 12 years, went a lot of places. The Sesmat household was on the coast at basketball, at soccer, at swim. We went to all those places. We did it in the Expedition, and then it was like, okay, we're at 150,000 miles in this bad boy. I think it's time to get out now. So my wife is in a pre-owned certified Explorer that she really likes. Made a lot of sense for us financially in the Sesmat household. Made a lot of sense for us now in this new phase. We've just got one, but this one is on the run, man. It's swim. It's club basketball this Friday night. It's swim meets. It's going. It's training. I don't know. And then the other day, it was like, hey, let's go out and hit a golf ball around. So there's plenty of room in the Explorer to put the golf clubs in. So makes a lot of sense for us. We're very pleased with our experiences at Santan Ford. Santan Ford's been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. Stop on in for yourself and see what I've been talking about for 3 years now. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you.
Can I tell you why I'm really excited to go to Colorado because of Santan Ford?
Jared is, you got the, I don't want to say short end of the stick on this one.
I loved Boulder the first time I went. I'm excited to go back.
Jake lives up there. Jake Plummer.
Oh, does he?
And he's, yeah. And Jake's on the show tomorrow, so we'll try to hook you up. Why are you excited to go to Boulder?
Okay, so Kyle Ringo, who is one of the Colorado Buffaloes beat writers, tweeted out, while you were talking about this segment, the creators of South Park have prepared something special for their alma mater to be unveiled Saturday night at Folsom Field at the ASU game. Be there 10 minutes early. So, I will be there, and I will report on it live.
So wait a second.
I cannot wait.
So wait a second. Forget about the game. This is about South Park.
Totally.
It's on ESPNU, so they're looking for television exposure.
They a cartoon it. From my childhood. Yeah. From my childhood.
Yeah, and so you're now more excited. You know what? I don't think you're going to go now. I think I'm going to go.
Go for it.
You're going to go up there to do your thing on South Park. There we go. That's what I want.
I'll film the whole thing.
It's the priorities that we have here in the business. Nicely done. There's a president of the State of the Union tonight at 6 o'clock. No offense to Pedro, but I'm not going to be watching the Diamondbacks and Giants very much. I'll watch a little bit of it. He's going to talk about ISIS. I don't know. People have been beheaded here recently. That's stuff we don't see. So what is he going to tell me tonight? And I don't know, guys, about you, but the circles that I run in, guys that are interested in sports, they're feeling a little uneasy about things. And I don't know if I'm uneasy. It's just like, wow, there's a group out there that wants to cut heads off. And so the president's going to talk about that tonight at 6. And I'll be interested in what he has to say on that front. Roger Goodell, I'm getting tired of Roger Goodell. Getting tired of, because I pointed this out over the years of doing this show, that the NFL, I completely 100% agree with Mark Cuban that the NFL is heading down a path that is not a good path. I mentioned earlier this week that the television ratings were not good for the pregame shows. Okay, it wasn't the games themselves. You can always make numbers look any way you want. It's not like I sit there and say, aha, here's a bad number, I'm going to bring it up on the show. No, it's just a fact. When pregame shows are down 13% as ESPN's was, that's not good. And I think a lot of it is fantasy impact. We'll have Michael Fabiano here in a couple of minutes. There's that. I think that the way that they have handled repeated cases, whether it's off the field conduct, the garbage that goes on the field in the way of concussions, that stuff was covered up, former players taking their lives, former players not being able to assimilate back into society, retired players and benefits. The whole thing is rolling in a direction, and Roger Goodell was given a 10-year contract. Roger Goodell's in great shape. I'd be surprised if they punched his ticket and said, get him out of here. But the way that this Ray Rice thing has gone, there's certainly more detractors that have come out of the woodwork. And I'm just sitting over here on the sideline saying, I can enjoy some NFL football, but there's some problems, big problems. Not on the fantasy football side. Michael Fabiano's next from the NFL Network. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Now it's time to talk to Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL.com and NFL Network, Hall of Famer, joining us every week right there at the NFL Network studios. A lot going on. I'm getting a lot of panic of the Larry Fitzgerald holders here in Arizona, of course, especially with Dad now speaking out. But then there's the fallout of Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce and Forsett. And so there's a lot of directions to go. Let's start first. What's your view of the Larry Fitzgerald thing and what happened on Monday night?
Well, I mean, listen, we've seen Larry Fitzgerald's numbers drop over the last couple of years. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in 2 years. He did have 10 touchdowns in 2013, which really helped his fantasy value. But really, this has sort of been a trend with Fitzgerald, really ever since Kurt Warner left. He's been a little less consistent. And we've seen games where Larry's done nothing, and then a week later he puts up a big stat line. So he's not an elite fantasy receiver anymore at this point. He's more of a two. He's been more of a two for the last couple of years. I still stick with him unless you're really deep at wide receiver, and hopefully the squeaky wheel gets the grease so his father complained, and maybe that'll have the Cardinals get him the ball a little bit more. Who knows? But Fitzgerald is a guy that I'm still starting, but you have to temper your expectations. It's not the same receiver who was elite in fantasy years ago.
Well, when you're looking at Cardinal receivers, Michael, in fantasy, throwing to 11 different guys, great for Carson Palmer, not great if you're looking at any of these Cardinal wide receivers, right?
Well, Michael Floyd had a fantastic game, and he could be the new number one fantasy receiver in Arizona if things can continue in this direction. I'll tell you, Carson Palmer had the ugliest good fantasy game I've ever seen in my life. He ended up with 20 fantasy points, but there were about three balls that should have been picked off that weren't. So you take that as a fantasy fan because a lot of people had to start Carson Palmer because maybe they were waiting on Cam Newton. But I'm not expecting that from Carson Palmer every single week.
How about over in Baltimore, the fallout from Ray Rice and the direction for fantasy fans that had him? They're looking at Pierce, looking at Forsett. What do you see there?
Well, Forsett was the better running back in week one. Bernard Pierce fumbled, didn't play much the rest of the game, although John Harbaugh says that wasn't the case, that he wasn't benched because of a fumble, but who knows. It's going to be a committee. The Ravens haven't committed to one running back or another as the starter, but with the eye test, it's Forsett, and he's a very popular pickup off the waiver wire. The Steelers' defense did not look good against the run last week. Ben Tate looked good before he went down. Terrence West rushed for 100 yards. Isaiah Crowell had two rushing touchdowns. So Forsett is the guy that I would start out of that Ravens backfield, but there are no guarantees right now in Baltimore.
Marty in Phoenix says, Eddie Lacy and Doug Martin are my running backs. I'm looking at Crowell. Yeah. I mean, he's in some trouble here. I'm looking at Crowell on waiver wire.
Well, I hope James Starks is out there because he can handcuff James Starks to Lacy. So if Lacy isn't able to play, at least he can fill in and utilize James Starks. Crowell, to me, is more of a flex, and it's more of a desperation flex, but there's desperation here. Bobby Rainey's a guy I would pick up. If Doug Martin doesn't play, Rainey looks like he'll be next in line. So I would probably go that route and try to handcuff those two guys and see what happens. And if they play, well, then you can release your handcuffs there if you need those roster spaces for other skill position players.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer with Brad Sussmat. Mark writes, I lost Sean Hill and Eli was horrible. The fact he had Sean Hill is just...
Wait a minute. His quarterbacks are Sean Hill and Eli?
Yeah, I know.
This must be a 24-team league.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He's looking at Locker, Manuel, or Matt Castle.
Oh, goodness. Locker. Go get him. Jake Locker is so underrated in fantasy because he always gets hurt. When he plays, he can put up numbers, Brad. If you remember, there was about a four-game stretch last year where he was really strong for fantasy owners. And they play the Cowboys this week in Tennessee. Locker's a top-10 quarterback for fantasy owners this week. I've picked him up. I'm starting him over Russell Wilson. I'm starting him over Nick Foles and Robert Griffin III. I like the matchup that much. Locker's a good player. He just isn't durable.
Steve writes, Andre Ellington, should I be concerned about playing him?
No, because the Cardinals went out and played him. He led the team in backfield touches. He didn't look like a guy who had a bad foot. And from reports that I've seen, he can't really hurt the foot anymore than it already is, so he's going to continue to play. The Cardinals, I'm sure, will take all precautions and make sure that he's not feeling pain out there. As long as he's active, you're going to play him.
Yeah, he's in a boot today, but that's here on Wednesday, and that's the boot.
Right, so it's all about preparing him for every single game moving forward. And you hate to see that he's got an injury, but it could be worse. I mean, we were hearing reports that he was going to be out for multiple weeks, and I guess that was just speculation because obviously he played on Monday night.
Tony, Steven Jackson, Quiz, or Freeman in Atlanta?
Steven Jackson, but I don't have a lot of faith in any of those Atlanta running backs right now because they're going committee. Steven Jackson's 31, but he's still the lead dog, and he's going to see most of the carries out of the backfield. Then you're going to see Jacquizz Rodgers, Freeman, even Antoine Smith had that big catch and run for a touchdown last week. So Jackson's a guy that at this point you can't really trust him even as a flex starter. But out of those backs you mentioned, he would be the best one.
Torrey, do I pick up West or Ingram? I'm looking for a back this week.
I like West's matchup better. So if you're looking for a running back for this week, I like Terrence West.
You look around here, and there's a lot of running back questions, and we're just a week into the season. How deep is it this year in fantasy at running back?
Well, we've already seen injuries. Ben Tate, right? He's gonna be out for a few weeks. We mentioned Eddie Lacy had the concussion. We mentioned Doug Martin had the knee/leg injury from last year, sort of mysterious. So this is why you need to have depth and why you needed to build depth in the draft at the running back position, because injuries happen. The running backs are the offensive skill position that's most likely to get hurt because it's the most punishing offensive skill position out there. That's why you need to have depth. So anytime anybody comes out on the waiver wire, Justin Forsett, Terrence West, whoever it might be, who's got a shot to start or see a significant role in a backfield, you've got to go out and get them.
So this week, who do you start? Who do you sit that you really like? Some of the matchups you really like this week, some you don't like.
Well, we can start off at the quarterback position. And, you know, I've talked about how much I love Andrew Luck, and he is going to be phenomenal this year. He'll be better than he's ever been, and I think he's a must-start against the Eagles. Here's a good stat on Tom Brady, if you're freaking out about Tom Brady. In his last 8 road games against the NFC, he's averaged 342 passing yards and thrown for 21 touchdowns. So if you're worried about him against Minnesota, I actually wouldn't. I think he's a good play this week. Quarterbacks that you want to sit down, Jay Cutler. Good game last week against Buffalo from a fantasy perspective, but in his last 13 road games against the NFC, he's thrown for multiple touchdowns just 3 times, and he's thrown for 300 yards just once. Not good. I'm also not liking what I'm seeing from Robert Griffin III, so he's a guy that you're going to keep on your bench. Running backs to start this week, I love Gio Bernard. Alfred Morris has got a good matchup against Jacksonville. Running backs to sit, Reggie Bush. How's this for a stat? In 7 career games against the Panthers, he's averaging 62 scrimmage yards and 1 touchdown. He's had 1 touchdown in those games against Carolina. Maurice Jones-Drew, he worries me. He's not played very well in September during his career, especially lately. Wide receivers that I like, Randall Cobb against the Jets, Emmanuel Sanders against Kansas City. I'd sit down Victor Cruz if you can. He has posted fewer than 55 yards in 5 of his last 6 games at home, and he hasn't scored a touchdown at home since December of 2012, which is amazing. And I know Roddy White's a guy you're probably going to start, but how's this for a little nugget, Brad? During his entire career, he has just 2 touchdowns in 17 road games against the AFC. 2. That's it. And he's also had 100-plus yards in just 4 of those 17 games.
Wow. I mean, you're bringing your A-game here. That's...
Well, I always bring the A-game.
No, I know. You're dropping every last bit of knowledge on me here.
I got to help our Arizona friends out there, including Kurt Warner, who, by the way, does listen to the show sometimes and texts me and says, hey, you're on the radio here in Arizona. So
no, that's what it's all
congratulations
about.
Congratulations to my boy, too, for getting inducted into the Cardinals Ring of Honor. Kurt's the man.
No, that's right. Before I let you go, I'm getting questions about Philly against Indy, and do you like the matchup there for the Eagle players in fantasy?
Well, you're going to start LeSean McCoy regardless. Macklin actually doesn't have the best matchup if you look at what the Colts did to Demaryius Thomas last week, and they held him in check. So Macklin to me is more of a 3, less of a 2. I'm a little bit worried about that matchup for him. I love Zach Ertz, and I've loved Zach Ertz all offseason, all preseason, so I'm going to start him. I think Foles is a low QB 1 this week. Maybe 10th, 11th on my rankings at this point in time, although I'm still working on those. Darren Sproles, PPR guy, a flex guy for the most part, although he was good in standard leagues as well. So the Colts, though, start Luck. Don't start any running backs, especially Trent Richardson.
Don't tell me that. I'm stuck with him.
Trent Richardson's been bad.
I don't know what happened to this guy. I got
to
toss
him. From his rookie
him.
Season to right now, but he does not look good. Ahmad Bradshaw's had multiple foot surgeries, and he's a lot older than Trent Richardson. He looked a lot faster than T-Rich. I don't know what's going on there. T.Y. Hilton's more of a 3, and Hakeem Nicks, good game in week 1. I still need to see more from him, though.
No, you're just killing me here. Last week you crushed my team because I said that this dope that I'm with gets Trent Richardson. We ended up scoring 118 points and we won. But
wow! But well, yeah, when Trent Richardson didn't help you with that total. I can
no,
that.
No, yeah. He didn't. And so you know, I'm looking at tossing some guys out on the street. That's the way it goes. And Trent Richardson will be one of them. But appreciate your time as always. Thanks. Talk next week.
All right, pal. Take care.
You got it. There's Michael Fabiano with us. Always good to catch up with the Hall of Famer. NFL Network, NFL.com. Fantasy football analyst getting you ready. Game starting tomorrow night. Ravens and Steelers. Of course, the Cardinals playing on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. kick at New York against the Giants. And we're back with more after this time out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSussMatt.